I have a great show for you today. Thank you guys, friends, for joining me on the Amber May Show. Always a pleasure to have you each and every time we do an episode. And today we are going to talk about the rape trafficking of children. And did you know it can be involved with the satanic occult? Yes, that is a thing that does happen. And joining me today is a lady named Lynn Piper Loomis, and she is the author of I Am Silent No More. And you can find her book, and I encourage you to go purchase her book at lynspiperloomis.com. That's Lynn's, L-Y-N-Z, Piper Loomis, L-O-O-M-I-S.com. And purchase her book, I Am Silent No More. She died and went to heaven. She's had encounters with Jesus himself. And so her story on this episode is phenomenal. And I hope it really encourages you, especially if you're going through a deep hurt like she's experienced with being raped multiple times. But join me on Telegram. I always offer more content over at Telegram at The Amber May Show. You can find me at True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May as well. And then consider becoming an angel investor. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider going to the website and donating $5, $10, $100, whatever you want to donate at theambermayshow.com, or become a $5 monthly subscriber at theambermayshow.locals.com. Hey, if you're a business owner, click the link below, because there is an employee retention tax credit that you can get for $26,000 per W-2 employee, $26,000 from the federal government. So the link is in the description below. Check out some of my sponsors like thecommandersartist.com, thecommandersartist.com. Beautiful patriotic art. I mean, phenomenal patriotic art, and promo code Amber there. So find all that info in the links below, or visit the website at theambermayshow.com and then look at the promo section. Well, I have a phenomenal show coming up right now with Lynn Piper Loomis. I told you I was going to have a great show for you today, and joining me on this episode, like I said, is Lynn Piper Loomis. I hope I pronounced your name right. Pardon me if I don't, but I am so excited to share your story today on my program. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
I think you're such a brave woman. And I think, like, God uses everything for good. All the bad he uses for good. I dealt with infertility, and it's not necessarily on the same page as what you went through, but it was still a hard place in my life. And now I use it to try and speak hope into women and to educate them. Hey, you know, what I have found is that the shots have led to infertility. But so I want to thank you so much for coming on your show. And I want to know, like, from what I understand, so correct me if I'm wrong, you and your mom, you were trafficked through CPS. I call it rape trafficking. If you say sex trafficking, it sounds consensual, but I call it rape trafficking. And from my understanding, you and your mom were in a car accident, and then she died, and then you were taken into CPS custody. Is that correct?
Not entirely correct. No. What happened was, I was in the accident with my mom. We both died on impact. God gave me a choice to come back or to go on to heaven. I had an encounter on the other side, and I chose obviously to come back, and cause I'm here. And, so my mom had remarried after my biological father had terminated his parental rights to me as a baby. Hmm. She got divorced when I was an infant. Fled that situation. And so she remarried, and the man that she remarried, I wouldn't say they were happy together. He was not a good father to me. But most of my story is not, it doesn't really involve him, other than just the lack of, care and concern, negligence and just, neglect, those kinds of things. But anyways, he
physically harm you in any kind of way other than like,
you know, I have some memories, but some of those memories are still suppressed. So I only speak to the things that I can recall mm-hmm. very, very well. You know, there's a lot of things I can recall from my childhood, and then some things that are still, that I'm still healing from. I mean, I know I'm walking in as an overcomer and I'm healed, but even as I wrote my book and brought it out, there was things that, I had to work through last year. So, you know, we're like an onion. Our heart just keeps peeling back layers as we get through one part. So that first year after my mom, was in heaven, I suffered significant injuries in the car accident, broke multiple bones, damage to multiple organs, had a head injury, was very severe. Within 2 months after that, my stepdad had a girlfriend, and we went to Hawaii. It was a trip that had already been planned by my mother. And so they did their thing. I nearly drowned in the ocean, and I couldn't even cry out anymore. The waves took me out and out, a mile out and a mile and a half down the shore. I thought I could surf. I'd lost 35 pounds in the hospital, so I was still really tiny. But I said to God, I remember dying and you giving me a choice to come back, and I still want to live and fulfill that. I'm sorry for my stupidity. You know, I was still a kid, but still, I realized what I did. So anyways, long story short, God brought me back to the shore with one wave. A couple of months after that, I fell off a small mountain cliff and cracked my head open, still with an injury, and it was not bad. But during that time, I nearly joined a gang. I was about to be gang raped and jumped into the gang, and Holy Spirit took over, and I started prophesying and praying over the gang members, and they walked away. Never did any drugs. I was not sexually active or anything like that. But it was during that time that I had heard conversations between my stepdad and one of my mom's sisters. So I'm going to come back to my youth here in a second so you guys understand how grooming and programming can happen from birth and how it happens through the bloodline. But basically, there was an agreement made in exchange of money. And so anytime that there is an exchange for something or someone for a profit, that is called human trafficking. It can mm-hmm. be domestic slavery. It can be sex, drug, or human trafficking. And there's a number of things that are going through that process. So I never actually went into a CPS home, but I went halfway across the country through the CPS system, and I landed inside of my mom's sister's home, where I was raped and tortured for 3.5 years, restrained and unrestrained. I was locked into a box. I lost two little girls due to trauma and incest.
You were pregnant?
I had two pregnancies. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And who, and was it a family member that raped you, or was it mm-hmm. somebody
My
else?
My aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm.
Both of them did.
So normally, trafficking begins through someone you know or a family member. So they had to go through a home study. They had to go through certification process because eventually they adopted me against my will. I was beaten and tortured. Their oldest daughter was 4 years younger than me. She was beat. And then they had two other children. So I was also in domestic servitude. I was allowed to go to school. They were both involved in church and in the community. I tried to tell my church leaders, was dismissed until I got there at 13. I was there until 16 and a half. And until I went to school one day and I told my school counselor, because I had the last rape situation happen. And so I jumped out of bed and I basically just told my uncle, if you don't, take care of this and say something, then I'm going to speak up. And so within 24 to 48 hours, I don't know the exact time frame, he and my aunt came down and they threatened my life, and that my body would not ever be found, and that if I ever said anything, they would deny it. So within that next 24 to 48 hours, I took my mama's Bible that I had and some things with me, and I got to school. By the end of the day, my school counselor had called me back because I'd left a note on her door in the morning, and I told her what was going on. My uncle was arrested, and I didn't say everything that had happened just because I was still in such a beaten down state. Like, I mean, I was a victim. I mean, you start out as a victim in these situations, and a lot of trauma. And so the CPS did nothing. I stayed with one of my aunt's friends for 3 days. She bought me a whole new wardrobe of clothes, which I didn't have, because when I got transferred there, my aunt took everything away from me. They cut me off from all of my church community, my friends and my family from where my mom's community. They took inheritance. My mom's will disappeared. The financial stuff disappeared. They liquidated. They spent all of the money on themselves. They were not good with money. And they put me in her maternity clothes when I wasn't pregnant and put me in her bloodstained underwear and her bras. Meanwhile, their kids were well-dressed. And I knew going into it, because I heard the phone conversations, that I was going to be enslaved. Like, I knew what was going on. And so at 16 and a half, God gave me an exit strategy. I used that strategy that he gave me, and I went in that place for 3 days where she bought me a new wardrobe of clothes. She couldn't keep me. And I made arrangements to stay with one of my best friends in high school and her mom and her sister. I stayed with them for about 2 to 3 weeks. I slept on the floor, which is not their fault. That was better than where I was. And then they started getting harassed in the community. My friend and her sister were getting harassed, people asking them questions. And so then I ended up back across the country, halfway across the country, in a safer place. I was bullied out of testifying against my uncle. So he bargained. My understanding was he would be a registered sex offender. My aunt never had any charges pressed against her. Now, all of this is court sealed, of course. So in my book, I've changed the names and the locations, one to protect my family and any other minors that might have been involved.
Were your cousins, were they assaulted as well? Or was it just you?
Physically, yes. I don't know sexually, because I didn't see that. Now, from birth, I was groomed by my mother's father, my grandfather. He raped me. And
at what age? Like, how old were you?
I was a toddler. Ooh. I remember sitting on his lap, him taking his my diaper off, putting objects in himself and me.
You know what? I just came across an article with a sicko that was bragging about raping a baby in the rear end. Like, I couldn't believe this article I was reading. I don't know if I put it on my website. I try to remember to put all these things on my website because I want people to know how sick and twisted this is, and how young babies are getting raped. Babies, yes. Toddlers. It was disgusting. So you remember that of your grandpa.
Mm-hmm. And the history in my family, again, I said the occult has been involved in my family for years, generations. Now, my mother was a very strong Christian. She raised me up in the Lord. She was a great mom, an incredible woman. I know she was not, she had mistakes. I'm not putting her on a pedestal, but I'm just saying she raised me in an incredible relationship with the Lord. I gave my life to Jesus at 4. I talk about that in my book.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented fill adjusts your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my Premium Queen for only $27.98. Or my Premium King, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
All right, America, Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May Show. So stay tuned. Amber May.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And I don't go into all these gruesome details in my book. My book is more about I was raped, and these are the steps that God gave me repeatedly through my life to overcome. But my mother from birth was groomed and raped by her father, and she was made to have sex with her brothers while he watched, and then he would rape them, and then they would each watch. So
he would rape his sons and his daughters?
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about my aunt, but I know the two sons and my mother for sure. That's the only thing
I remember. I would think that your aunt, too, if she was,
I don't know. My mother never talked to me about that. She only told me about those three. So I'm only going to speak to
what
I know to be true. And the reason, or excuse me, when I was between the age of, so I was 12, when the car accident happened, and that was 1994. In 1990 to 1992, I don't know the exact date or year, my mother's oldest brother committed suicide. He drank himself to death. So after that happened, I think he died from like cirrhosis of the liver. But basically what happened was she came out and exploded. She told everything and the family split. And she was kind of like the black sheep, according to them. My grandmother is inherently created in the image and likeness of God. Yes, but she's made a lot of evil choices. I've forgiven her and my family, but they make still to this day very evil choices. I don't have any contact with them. And she didn't stick up for my mom. Stuck up for him, but even though they got divorced. So years later, you know, we knew about all this stuff that was going on, right? But when she came out with that, it wasn't long after I had started sharing with her what my grandfather was doing to me. So it was kind of like all at the same time. And then after that first year, I almost committed suicide twice and God directly intervened. I would stay sometimes with different friends of my mom's, but slowly through that year, I was cut off and isolated from all of them. So after I turned 18, which I was already separated from my aunt and uncle at that point in that horrific situation, I reconnected with people from my childhood. Because I didn't live far from where they were at. And I found out that from their side, that they had tried to have contact, that they had tried to honor my mom's wishes. They had tried, you know, everything. And then I found out, so my family had a lot of different companies, farming, ranching, trucking. They held shares in, you know, collectively together, it would be worth a lot. But, you know, each individual share, of course, is different. But there had been a trucking company that was sold, and I was my mom's only child. So therefore, those shares would go directly to me. And so when the check was cut, they were looking for me. They didn't know where I was. And so someone told me that this happened and that I needed to go see them. And I happened to be in the same area, you know, geographic area. So I drove to that location and I asked them, and they said, "We've been looking everywhere for you. Mm-hmm. We mailed that check to your aunt and uncle's attorney. You only have so long to claim it, and then they get to claim it." And I don't know how that works legally, but that's what I was told. So I contacted their attorney and I said, "I will take legal action. I want that check sent to me right away." And so it wasn't very much. I think it was somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 for an 18-year-old. That's, you know, reasonable.
Yeah.
And prior to that time where I was living, I was trying to figure out, before I broke away, how to become emancipated, getting a job, getting a car, all these things. And so that's kind of the condensed version. So like in my book, I talk about, you know, funny things, my relationship with my mom, my encounter with Jesus when I was four, when I gave my life to him, all the way to my run for Congress. And a lot of people think, well, that kind of sounds boring, but there's a lot of nuggets in there. Most people read it in a day, but it's a story that constantly builds faith and hope in what God can do in us. And I didn't get healed overnight. I think that the seasons that we're coming into, that people can. And mm-hmm. so my tragedy and breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for someone else, so they don't have to go through all the steps, right? Right. So, you know, I talk about that in the book and at the end of the book. And so that's kind of the story there.
So let's go back to the beginning, okay? So your mom died, you died. What was your experience? Do you remember your experience in heaven?
I was actually just going to talk about that. So,
yes.
So we were in the accident, and I was actually walking hand in hand with my mother in the presence of the Lord, towards heaven. Like we were walking. All I can describe it as, we were just walking in this great big, energy or presence of God. I always call it the presence of God, but it was just his love, his peace, and his presence caused me to, both of us, to pause and for me to turn around. And so I engaged with him, not like I'm talking with you. And he showed me some things for my destiny, and I had a choice. And even though I didn't understand what my destiny held, in the sense of, you're hearing my dogs bark in the background, guys, I'm so sorry.
Okay, live TV, it's all right. Reality. But,
no, they're loud today. So anyways, I didn't understand the full gravity of it. This is what I tell people. But what I did experience, was these visions of different things. And so I understood I had a governmental call in my life, and I had complete peace no matter what decision I made. So I obviously made the choice to come back. And so I went back to my mother and I hugged her goodbye. And I always get emotional on this part, mm-hmm. because I understood in that moment that she was not coming back with me. And I also understood that she had fulfilled her purpose. Mm-hmm. And I also had memories of sitting on God's lap and him reading the book that he wrote about me and my destiny.
Oh,
and wow. So, and it's like,
heaven look like? Can you describe what heaven looked like?
That particular encounter of when I was in that place, it was just the presence of God. It was bright, okay. But you know, as far as my encounter and my memories of heaven, people may not know this because I don't talk about it a lot, but I can see in the spirit realm, and I have since birth, probably even before birth. So my encounters is just, literally sitting on his lap, he's holding this book that he wrote about me, and it talks about this in Psalm 139. So everything I'm talking about is completely scriptural. it was peaceful. It was warmth. It was love, complete love. And I knew after I hugged my mom goodbye, my spirit came back to my body. The moment that he blew his breath back into my body, they were cutting a hole in the side of my chest cavity on the right side and inserting a tube into where my lung had collapsed. And I was intubated at some point. I don't remember. I was in and out of, you know, consciousness, but that's what I remember as far as like when he blew his breath back into my body. And I knew, I even woke up, I knew my mom was gone. I knew, remember the accident. I remembered everything. I had kids that were my best friend, and as ornery as I was in the sense of just being very creative and trying out different things, like riding my bike on a wooden ramp without shoes on, you know, things like that, that, you know, probably not smart, but I tried her patience with things like that. But I was a very well-behaved child. She was very strict, but she was my best friend. We did everything together. She was very involved in my life. I went to a private Christian school. She was always in my classroom. She, even when she was single, she would take me with her to work in the morning, getting, you know, putting newspapers out. She was a hard worker, and just, she took her trauma, a phrase that she had in her Bible, that I ended up sending to my aunt, actually last year, forgiveness. And God told me to send my mom's Bible, to my aunt and uncle. But in that, she had lots of things that she'd written, but one thing that always stood out is, out of our pain is an opportunity for someone else to gain. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many years before she died, probably at least within a 5-year time period, she became a Stephen minister, helping to minister to people in their trauma, to help them to get breakthrough and overcome their circumstances, even though she was still, you know, walking through her healing journey. Wow. And so, just an incredible woman of faith.
So you mentioned the word occult. So tell me a little bit about that. Does that mean your family was in the occult?
Well, yes. That is a really loaded question. That could open up a lot of discussion that probably would be too long for today. But in essence, for example, there's someone I could connect you with that you could probably interview. A former Satanist. He's now, he had an encounter with Jesus and became a believer. But basically, and he was high up in the Satanic church, by the way. So there's like Satanic ritual abuse. There is, which I was a victim of. I'm not, no longer. And that all varies at different degrees. So, for example, he talked about, how in, many denominational churches, Christian churches, they kind of like in politics where the Democrats were like praising sleepers in the Republican Party, they do the same thing with the Satanic church inside of mainstream Christianity. And so there's a lot of elders and deacons, not saying just one church, but spread throughout different doctrines and denominations that are part of the Satanic church. And unless you are really have good discernment, you won't know. Now, there are churches that are walking in alignment with the word of God. Like my church is incredible out here in South Carolina. And so, you know, it's easy to spot certain things, right? Because we walk in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, but that doesn't mean that people can come that are part of the Satanic church that are drawn. Like this man was brought in at 12 years of age. He was curious. A lot of people are curious. So we're going to have a lot of people coming into our churches that
I think you know who you're talking about. I think I've seen some of his videos. I think.
Yeah, I'll connect you with them if you haven't met him yet. It's incredible because we're going to have a lot of people walking out of the occult, walking out of the new age. We're called the light into darkness. Yes. We're called to speak out against what's mm-hmm. happening in our country in with children and human trafficking, these things. So I had a lot of individuals in my family that were in the part of the Freemasonry.
Oh, yes. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Disney was part of that. He was like the 33rd degree Mason. Yeah. Big, big stuff. Wow. So you had some Masons in your family.
Yeah, there's a lot more to the story, but I'll just leave it there for right now. But you know, the occult stuff can be manipulation. So like, you know, if a lot of there's some people that have, I know personally for me, I had some church hurt a long time ago because there was people who were manipulating me and taking advantage of my hurts and my weaknesses that where they should have been helping me heal. Mm-hmm. And that's a form of witchcraft. Okay. Cause that's manipulation and that is witchcraft versus helping someone say, so like, I love my pastors. They bring wise counsel and they don't manipulate. They don't use anything to try to power or influence me to make choices that they want me to make.
Right.
But they, one reason that I really honor and respect them and of course love them, because they tell me things that's hard to hear sometimes. And I want that. Like we need to be accountable. Like we all need to be accountable. Right. And so the occult can look like that. But it can also look like rituals. It can look like spells. It can look like just some really evil, vile stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there was some of that satanic stuff in my family bloodline going back multiple generations.
Well, so how did your mom find Jesus with her family being a part of the occult, being in these, having abuse done to her? How did she find Jesus, which helped you find Jesus? How did that happen?
The only thing I can recall that she really talked about was in the thing that I tell people, I guess it's kind of like mother, like daughter. It was my only option. It was either that or I give up and I die.
Okay.
So, I mean, we just both had, she had multiple encounters with God and he just kept showing up for her. And he did the same thing for me and he does it for, I mean, he's never absent from our situations.
Right.
You know? And right. So she just, it was just constant faith. And as far as her personal relationship, I think she was very young. Like I was, I don't remember the exact storyline, but I know she was young. Like I was, and you know, she grew up going to church. She grew up around it, but it was just not the version that we would probably want in our families.
Interesting. Okay, because you don't think of someone being in the occult attending church, but apparently that's a thing that happens. So that's very fascinating. I'd like to know about personal experiences you had where you encountered Jesus throughout your life.
So
because like you did mention it about the ocean, but I mean, I'm sure there's other moments if you could give just a little bit more detail about that, because I think it's fascinating how God always comes for us.
Yeah. So two that I could share in a very brief condense, I won't give all the details because it takes a while. But when I was four, I was in Sunday school. And in my Sunday school class, it had the door that was like split in half. So it was half open. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't, you know, like escape. And I was sitting at this little table and I saw Jesus just as clear. Well, it, like if you were sitting across from me, just as clear as I can see you sitting across from me. And he literally led me into salvation right there. And so my mom, there's more to that. There's more to that, but it's a very long thing. But my mom came to get me from Sunday school. And I was like, mommy, I gave my life to Jesus. And she comes and she, you know, gets me out of there and she kneels down next to me and she says, Lindsay, do you know what that means? And I said, yes, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked for forgiveness of my sins. And he came into my heart, Mom. And I just started talking to her and explained the encounter that I had. So she understood that I understood. And I think it was the day before she and I were in that car accident that I was baptized. Now, we were attending a church that did sprinkling. So years later, I did the full dunk. Mm-hmm. That was one encounter. There was another time where my uncle, who was probably over 250 pounds, and I was about 5'3", 5'4", and maybe 110 to 115 pounds, maybe, very petite. And he was on
you
top
still
of them.
Are.
Well, I'm working on that. I'm a work in progress. He was attacking me again. And I just was in this place. So when you go through trauma like this and you go into rape and these types of things, you separate yourself from the situation internally in your internal world. And so I just shut down, and all of a sudden something, some type of spiritual force threw him off of me up against the front. It was by the front door, because there was like a, when you walked in, there was like a living area and a fireplace, and nobody else was home. Except for the babies, and they were, I think they were in taking naps or something. I don't remember where they were in that exact moment, but something threw him off of me, and I couldn't have done it. There's no way. And I know that that was God. I've had multiple encounters with him just in the secret place, you know, where he has shown me downloads of how to navigate through different things that I'm walking through in life. That's what he says he's there for. So I think it's so important for people to sit down and take that time. Even if, you know, I know some people's schedules are different, but as long as you isolate a certain time for him every day, get in the habit of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I am in my Bible study group, I'm very intentional about making sure I spend time in my Bible study. And then when we take a break, it's a little bit harder for me. I kind of need that Bible study, because it keeps me accountable to staying in the Word of God. And I've had encounters with God, just, you know, maybe not to the point where you have, but going back to the occult time. Okay, so I grew up in church, and I always knew you don't mess with fortune telling and things like that. And I was at my friend's birthday party, and I was 8 years old. And this lady came in and said, hey, I can tell your future just based on a deck of cards. Would you guys like me to tell your future? And all the girls were like, yeah, that'd be so much fun. And I just didn't, because I just knew you don't deal with that kind of stuff. I just mm-hmm. growing up in church, you just don't do that. So I sat back, and all of a sudden, this dark image, this dark shadow came into the room, and my body was on fire and I couldn't breathe. And I was scared, because I've never experienced it. And all of a sudden, this dark shadow is hovering over my friend, smiling while this lady's reading their future with a deck of cards. And so I get out of the room and I said, God, I don't know what to do. And he gave me the words to say, and he was helping me rebuke that evil spirit. And so after I got done saying the words that God gave me through a download, is how I call it, you know, I don't hear it with my ears, but I hear it in my mind. Stuff like, I can hear his voice in my mind. He gave me the words. I go in that room. That evil spirit was gone. I'm not on fire anymore. I can breathe just fine. I start talking about Jesus. That lady couldn't stand me. She had to get out of the room. And the next morning, she would not sit by me, because she spent the night. It was my friend's uncle's girlfriend. So they spent the night at his sister's house. Mm-hmm. And so at breakfast time, she wouldn't even sit by me. And I'm talking about Jesus. I didn't care. That lady, I was kind of mad at her. So I didn't care. I was going to talk about Jesus. She couldn't stand it. So yeah. That was one encounter I had at a very young age when in the spiritual realm and Jesus like talking to me. Mm-hmm. But you know, you experience some deep hurts in your life, and there's people listening right now that have experienced deep hurts in their life. And the only one that's ever going to set you free from those hurts is going to be Jesus. Nobody else can do it when the hurts are so profoundly deep. And I think the transgender movement, I think, has to do with a lot of deep hurts that need to be fixed by Jesus. Because I experienced that years ago on a Good Friday, the day that Jesus, you know, was crucified on the cross and he spoke to me. And I went through years of pain of, you know, losing my children, not being able to have a kid. And it cut me to the core, cut me deep inside, the loss and seeing the loss over and over again. And when Jesus talked to me, he set me free and he healed that inside of me. And I'm excited because you and I know something that the rest of the world doesn't know. And it's up to us to share that with others.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, a lot of my healing, God did just divinely. And then there was some incredible people that came alongside me. So like, I don't believe in fortune telling. I don't believe in tarot cards or any of that stuff, but, that's the counterfeit, right? Of what, that is the counterfeit. Sorry, guys, my hair was caught. That's the counterfeit of what's true and what's right in the Bible, which is prophecy, mm-hmm. Dreams, visions, prophecy. And so where I'm going with this is there were people that prophesied over me or people that shared with me. And that's how, you know, when I'm maybe in line at the grocery store or when I was praying at BLM Plaza Washington, D.C. a couple years ago when they tried to set me on fire, God would give me a word of knowledge that only he would know. I would not have known. And it's something like that changes that person's, shifts the direction of their heart towards the Father so they can hear and receive. And so those were some things that brought me healing recently as I was publishing my book, I went back into some really painful memories. Mm-hmm. And I know that was just the devil trying to act out, but I'm not going to give him power. So I reached out to a couple of people. Through my church and one through a place where I've experienced a lot of healing. And so through that prayer and through that, you know, navigating those tools, I was able to get healing very quickly from it. And of course, it was all came back and pointed towards God. But I think that there is a lot of you're going to come back to this transgender thing. I'm going to shift to that because that's basically what we see going on right now. So if you watch the Grammys, mm-hmm. I didn't watch the Grammys, but okay, the reports from the Grammys, there was a satanic dance and ritual that took place.
Yep.
And I believe that God, so number one, I am not judging anyone, but I am calling people to a higher place in that. If you have been given any level of influence in the Christian sphere or politically or wherever, and you have a platform where you can speak up on behalf of these children, on behalf of what's happening, we have to do it. Mm-hmm. I have the platform that God gave me through Congress and through all of this. It is not mine. It is his. Mm-hmm. And so I call out things that are happening and I cheer on people that are doing the right thing. But let's just put it this way. The attack, the mutilation and the murder of babies in the womb and the mutilation of children out of the womb, the programming or the attempt to reprogram in some cases, reprogramming of our children and the attack on humanity is fruit, bad fruit, from the from the Democrats, yes, but also Republicans that did not adhere to the core values that they say that they represent. Mm-hmm. And to a church that was also silent. So silence is not bliss, and it speaks louder, and it works on behalf of the devil. So you can have a form of that. My pastor said this, and I'm going to mutilate it a little bit. I know he had a much better articulation, but you can have a form of godliness, and then you can have where you're seeking the Lord and consecrated, and you walk in that place versus just a form of godliness where it looks good. The times that we're in now, and what we're coming into, the appearance of the form of godliness is not going to cut it. You're going to get crushed. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have to speak up. If anyone, it doesn't matter if you have three friends on, I was going to say MySpace as a joke, but on Facebook, or you have no social media and you're more engaged in your community, Mother's Day out, homeschool groups, you might be an influencer, an online influencer with like thousands of people, millions of people. Whatever God has given you, we can't remain silent. It's like mm-hmm. Esther. There was a time where she had to be, you know, quiet, but then it got to a point where it's Esther 4:14, for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And so we are in that point, and probably like within the last 4 months, I had this vision of this angel coming across America, destroying churches that were walking in the appearance of the form of godliness, but not the consecrated bride. And I know my church, I love my church. I love them. Consecration, they are discipling. It doesn't mean everyone is walking, you know,
right,
always the best choices 100% of the time, but it's the pursuit of God's heart. Like they're right. always calling us higher. I was in a car accident a couple weeks ago, and it really threw me for a loop. Like I was in a lot of pain, but instantly when the accident happened, and even though I was in a lot of pain, I kept hearing, I raise a hallelujah. And then we're on the side of the road waiting on the ambulance. I just start singing it, and then yes. the ambulance, and I'm singing it. And then I get in the ER and I'm singing it. And I kept hearing Sean Foyt's, I know there was someone else, but that's the one I remember. And I was like in the presence of my enemies. And then I just started saying, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies because of what we had just finished and where we were headed. And so through this 2-week process, I was beating myself up a little bit because I was getting more worn out. So I was resting more. So I started listening to the word while I was sleeping more often and during the day, because it was harder to concentrate because of headaches and things. So I just listened to it and soaked it in. And then I worshiped. We think that our worship is just singing and undignified dancing, which I love to do. And that was also hard because I love to dance during worship. And I would be sitting there kind of like this, but I would yell and shout. And so all I'm saying is, it's the heart posture. We don't have any more time to be silent. Mm-mm. We don't have any more time to waste. We have so many children, 800 million that are reported going missing globally a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am trying to use my platform to bring it out to the people, and the border mm-hmm. issue is a big deal. If we can close the border, we can slow down the trafficking of children. And I'm angry that our government's complicit in it. They're absolutely complicit in it. We all know that the Hunter Biden laptop, and we know the images on that laptop. And if our government wasn't involved in trafficking of people and children, they would shut down the border. Our president, Donald Trump, he highlighted the trafficking of children. He was trying to bring it out to the masses because it's a big deal. And so I can only use my little platform, but God can amplify my voice. And I'm hoping that God's using this time to amplify your voice to get the story out so people can see a face with what's really happening in the world today. You've mentioned Sean Foyt. I actually know him from the Reawaken America tour. And when I was in Branson, Missouri with him, he had such a powerful message. And every time I hear it, I almost get teary-eyed because it was so powerful, the message that he was preaching. So, and like you, I lost my dad and my best friend within 9 months of each other. Mm-hmm. And I was, worshiping was the only way I could get through the pain of losing people I loved. And it wasn't worship in the fact that, oh, I'm so happy. It was worship in the way it was healing my soul. I was crushed because I have lost two people I cared about in such a short amount of time, my best friend, my dad. And worship is huge in the healing process. So let me ask you this, what drove you to running for Congress? Have you been political in the past? Like, have you ran for office and won?
So 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember the exact year, I did a year-long international statesman program, traveled internationally. Some of it was personal, you know, spiritual growth, but some of it was meeting with different government leaders, different heads of state, different embassies in different countries. And so I have that underneath me. For the entire length of my marriage, I've been advocating for veterans, military, children of wounded warriors, and their caregivers. And then in a more official capacity, I was selected to represent South Carolina for a 2-year term by an organization, Washington, D.C. I've since separated from the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, which was 2018 through 2020. I separated from them because they were promoting the trans ideology with military support toolkits for kids on bases. And I asked them for, you know, a message. They didn't give me the time of day. So I asked them to remove me. I issued a press release and asked them to remove me from all of their platforms because I will not be affiliated with that. And that was last year that I, you know, caught that. But So I did put my name in the hat for a mayor seat. I didn't get on the ballot because my husband ended up getting cancer. He's been healed several years ago. And then we moved. And we've been in South Carolina almost 8 years. And so it would have been right after, it was actually during January 6th, the incumbent for Congressional District 1 for South Carolina, Nancy Mace, came out against us. She voted to certify the election. She didn't do anything to protect our votes. She actually went completely off the rocker with regard to President Trump and bashed him, which he was fighting for us. But even her voting, she still is a co-sponsor of a trans bill. She pushed the mask mandates and the vaccine mandate. It was just, you know, ongoing. And so it was I got home January 7th, which I never went to the Capitol building, by the way. But what ended up happening was I don't remember where it was. I had already previously met General Flynn and his sister. I know him. I actually had prayed over him at the Supreme Court for his first public speech the year prior to 2020. So it was in 2019. And I ended up going back to the Trump Hotel with his family. And I was sitting there with a couple of his sisters just, you know, talking. So anyways, I just gotten back from Jacksonville, Florida. And I had been praying. I felt like God was calling me to run. For Congress. I heard him say, run for Congress. And again, you know, in that seat, but I was waiting on his timing. And then I got this message from one of General Flynn's sisters. And basically she said, the general wants to speak with you straight away. And I was in church. So I said, well, I can speak to him this afternoon. But basically he called me and very kind. He's a wonderful.
He's very kind. Of
the Lord. Yeah. Yes. And so he just, you know, was talking to me about what I had been doing previously, what I was doing then. And encouraged me to get more involved. And then I got a text message within some weeks from there that said, hey, we think you should run for Congress, Mike. And it was confirmation because I had just prayed and said, God, you know, I'm not like, show me a sign, but I want to be sure on the timing. And then I launched April of that year and I ran for a little over a year. And he endorsed the campaign. He's endorsed the book. Now I, you know, I'm involved with his family and another thing on the child trafficking board with America's Future.
Oh, yes. Just now involved with that.
And he's supporting my endeavor with Zero Tolerance, which is a C4, an organization to go after the political side of things in human trafficking from the local to the international scale. So that's kind of like my run for Congress. I ended up working with Mark Fincham from Arizona.
He's a friend of mine. Oh my God, we know all the same people.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
And he endorsed my campaign, was very involved. I was down at the border for 6 days in Arizona. And then I spent one day at the audit. And then I was down in Texas at the border for a week. So I saw the rape trees. I saw numerous things. Let's see, who else was involved in my race? I worked with part of Mike Lindell's team here in South Carolina. And throughout that process, great team, Dr. Doug Frank. Just a lot of people that we are mutual friends with that have stood in the gap and that the GOP hates and the Uniparty hates, but that have really stood up for truth and risked everything, their lives even, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, it was just obedience. And then I withdrew like 3 days before the primary. God gave me this vision and he told me to withdraw. And I told him I'm in all the way and whether I win or not. And then if you tell me to get out and withdraw, I'll do it because this isn't about me. This is about you. And I stayed in that heart posture. I prayed every morning with a prayer group for my opponents and other people across the country. And then 3 days before he showed me this vision, I knew it was coming. I knew something was coming. Something had shifted. And then he wanted me to endorse one of my opponents. And so the debate stage was set. I asked God for the first question to draw the first number, and then I'd have an easy question. I said, well, these are the questions I really want to answer, Lord. But he gave me an even better one. And it was a mic drop, but actually it went all over the country. And I didn't even think about it as a mic drop. But I endorsed my opponent on the stage, and it came like a shock to the incumbent. There was a lot of cheating involved. We still
funny that, right?
That's a story for another day that we could go into.
Yeah.
But we had to get a recount down in Beaufort. There was a massive discrepancy there. But anyways, my name was still on the ballot. And I don't regret endorsing her. But I grieved that morning for like 4 or 5 hours. I just cried because it was like this big weight had been lifted off. And then transitioning to where I am now, because that was last year. I didn't work. All I did was campaign and I was in it. Like I was gone every day, every night. My family was in it. We had death threats. It was just all in for whatever God was doing. And, you know, people would ask me, why are you doing this? You have no chance of winning. I'm like, God told me to do this. I don't know what his reason is, but I'm doing it. And
so do you know him from Arizona, Jeff Fink?
No,
God told him to run. He didn't make it this time, but God told him to run. And so he did. And he has a vision of being in Congress someday. So
I'll be in office. I think someday I'll run again, but I'm focusing on the children and on human trafficking. But what was so powerful was through this process. I was talking to our Bible study last night, about a hard transition for me. And that was leaving the old behind and transitioning where I was addressing all issues to where I'm only focused on my mandate of what God has created me to do for my assignment for this season. Mm-hmm. And that was hard to let go. not because I wanted to win or I wanted, you know, not that, but just because I'm a fighter and I want to see justice in all these areas. Mm-hmm. But it's been a blessing just to do what he's called me to do right now. And my cat is now meowing. I'm so sorry, guys. My house is a zoo.
Well, it was so much fun talking to you, and we're going to have you back, because I think there's so much more we can unpack, the two of us. And it's so funny how God has just bring people into my life. Like, honestly, I don't remember how I found you, to be honest with you, but I found you, and it was the perfect time that I found you. And turns out we know a lot of the same people. So that was a God moment right there.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lynn, so much for coming on the program. I really appreciate you and your time today. And thank you for sharing your story.
Absolutely. Thank you.